Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, coming at you from Compliance Week World Headquarters here at 77 North Washington Street in Boston, Massachusetts. Today, we are going to talk about segregation of duties. Now, segregation of duties is a core part of a business's internal control program, and getting it right often drives internal auditors and compliance officers up the wall. It is a critical part of Sarbanes-Oxley compliance and has been for many years now, but given today's modern business software and IT systems, implementing effective SOD, as segregation of duties is often known, implementing those types of controls can be quite complicated. So to talk with us today about that, we are joined by Larry Carter. Larry is a longtime IT auditor who has actually written a short book on the subject called Segregation of Duties and Sensitive Access, Leveraging System-Enforced Controls. Larry's book is available for purchase on ComplianceWeek.com on our website. Look under the In-Depth Reports section in the main navigation bar of our homepage, and you'll be able to find it there. Larry, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Matt. Glad to be here.
So, first question, tell me what compelled you to write this book anyways, because it is not as if segregation of duties is a new thing for compliance and internal audit. When you heard all of the discussion about SOD out there, what part of the conversation did you not see happening that you thought this book would help fill the void?
Well, I think it was really the availability of information. My previous employer was struggling with formalizing SOD controls, and so I reached out for guidance that I could provide to them about the topic so it would give them some helpful hints. But as I searched, everything I came across was either at too high of a level, the 15,000-foot view, or it wasn't comprehensive in the details it provided. So what I decided to do was to come up with my own reference material that I could provide to these people. And looking back on it, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, though. In my experience through IT auditing, it seems that every project along these lines that I've seen has had some similar questions or surprises to them. It seems that everyone already assumes they know what there is to know about segregation of duties until the time comes when there's a program to initialize or put it in place. The people directly involved in the project are quickly humbled and usually a bit lost on where to start, and then they get blindsided by many factors that they just weren't expecting. There's also another part of segregation of duties, which isn't segregation of duties, but it's kind of lumped together, and I think deservingly so. And this has to do with sensitive access, sometimes referred to as restricted access. And these are singular capabilities, so they really don't fit in the same mold as a typical segregation of duties rule. But they're very complementary to segregation of duties. Sometimes they become mitigating controls for segregation of duty rules. And it would be a shame not to incorporate them into the same control activities that are used for SOD.
Okay. Now, the book, the main part of the book, really what you do is you're outlining a 11-step method that you've developed to make building and testing these controls a very systematic and repeatable process. So in 1, 2, 3 minutes, something like that, just in brief, describe to us what this 11-step method is or what it does. How does it work?
Sure. In order to develop an SOD control structure that provides the most value from a risk mitigation perspective, there's a couple of things that need to be present. First, there needs to be a general knowledge about the topic so that it's fully understood. Secondly, a process needs to be put in place that creates these access-related controls directly into the business environment. And to be able to show that they're actually working effectively, and this can be described in a step-by-step manner. So this is what I did with my book, is I organized in such a way that I provide a section that shows the background of the topic, and then I show a step-by-step process, which just happened to be 11 steps, that shows the process to reach the goal of proving that controls are put in place and they're working as they're intended.
Okay. Now, out of the 11 steps that you have, where are the steps, in your opinion, that most companies somehow struggle to get right or do understand properly? Or, what are the one or two key pain points in this whole 11 steps?
Yep. Well, as you might expect, an evaluation of SOD projects would probably show that each organization generally does a fine job with some of the steps, and then they miss the mark on others. However, there's often an impression that this is like a one-time task, and that once the rules have been crafted and all the users have been reviewed, that it's over. And this is the area where there's general failure amongst most. And so if there's not a check in the future, then there's really no control that you can say you have in place. Mm-hmm. Some environments, some organizations, they leave it up to either internal audit or external auditors to perform this periodic check when they do their audits, but it's really not their place. It's a management control, and only the business knows the users and the business well enough to be able to confirm appropriateness. So the business needs to be driving it. However, there's also a struggle internally on who's in charge of performing the review. The business would rather IT perform the review, but IT doesn't have enough information to be able to do it on their own.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, let me ask you a little bit more about that. So, really, how would you recommend companies try to take ownership of this, like you were just saying? Everybody says the business unit should do this, but they feel out of their depth on IT. IT people, they're not business process owners. They might not necessarily know what they're supposed to be doing. I've always thought that this is a very gray area that overlaps among so many people that it's really hard to figure out who should be taking point on these sort of issues.
Right. And so for that reason, it's really, really critical that the design of these SOD and sensitive access rules have designated owners or someone to refer to from the business world. Because at the end of the day, what you need to have is you need to have somebody from the business who's familiar with the business and knowledgeable of the users to be able to easily detect if something isn't right about the access. And that only can come from the business. So that's the first rule. The second thing is how do you get it to where you have a nice, neat package where everyone, all the users have been, or all the rules have been reviewed? And that requires some sort of a conductor, someone to orchestrate the whole process. Now, that person could come from either business, IT, internal audit. It could come from various places because at that point, that's just a taskmaster. That's the person who gets the reports from IT and then distributes the information to the business, gathers all the responses and certifications from the business, and then follows through with any corrective action that needs to take place. So it's like the three parts in order to make it work to function in a real smooth manner.
So I have a specific point I wanted to ask you about. One thing that you raised, one question, was the notion that many IT auditors or compliance officers, they'll do a fair job of segregation of duties within a business application, but they do not necessarily consider the SOD risks among multiple applications. And I thought that was very interesting, and it gets to the point about breaking down silos across business functions. I was just wondering if you could talk a little more about the nature of that and what risks you were trying to call out by stating that point there.
Sure. It's very uncommon to find an organization in today's world that uses only a single application to conduct and report on their business. So you might find where an organization has an accounting group that uses a different application for the general ledger than the business uses for their sales processing. Or even within a single business process, you might find this. For example, I've seen an organization where they have an application to maintain master data. Yeah. For all their customers and vendors, and then they interface that data into their ERP. So if you approach the SOD from an application-centric view, which is the most common approach, is you would be looking at maybe just the master data application or most likely just the ERP, and you'd never really have that visibility into the master data application. So as a result, what you'd end up with is you would end up with the potential of people who have access in two different systems but can present a tremendous fraud risk.
Okay, and that's, I guess, where I was going with this. You're really encouraging people to look more at the risk, whatever number of applications it might spill across, but not necessarily to fall into the trap of looking at one application and the risks thereof. You look at the risk, whatever the number of applications might be involved. Am I saying it right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, if you look at the 11-step process, you know, where it talks about, I mean, it just starts right off with a risk. Everything is driven by risk. And the question about what application does this user need to have access to in order to perform this capability, that's not even asked until later on in one of the later steps. And the intent is there to make sure that you do capture what are known as the inter-application conflicts.
So the book itself, how would you recommend somebody take the suggestions here and put them to work? What are you supposed to do with this other than just buy it and give it a read?
Well, you know, I just think it's a great resource. It's a niche subject that a person could spend years and years and years and never have the need to want to know any more than they already know about it. But if that moment comes and everyone's talking about SOD or somebody says, hey, there's a project and you're going to be in charge of it, then I think this is a truly valuable material.
All right.
And it works across different levels too, because it's not a 500-page book, so it's fairly brief, but it really covers the wide spectrum of things that people probably didn't think about when it comes to segregation of duties. So even a cursory read by a C-level suite executive that has a project either ongoing or upcoming for segregation of duties would benefit to be able to diminish their concerns about, you know, what risks aren't being covered, and it would also help point out critical gaps they might notice as well. At the same time, the book has a number of separate appendix files, and so it provides a wealth of information for those closer to the front line, and for those people, this can serve as a handbook of sorts. Even for service providers and consulting firms, this would be a great material to provide to their staff and managers that would help them not only in performing the work, but also would help them from the sales end, I think, as well.
All right. Well, Larry, that's all the time we have today, but you covered plenty of ground for us, so thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Matt.
And again, everybody, that was Larry Carter. He is a longtime hand at IT auditing and compliance, and he is author of a new ebook, Segregation of Duties and Sensitive Access, Leveraging System-Enforced Controls. Larry's book, as I said, is available for purchase on ComplianceWeek.com. Simply go to that nav bar on our homepage, look for the button that says In-Depth Reports, and click on that section, and it will take you there. That's all for this podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.